Let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. And from the first letter of John. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. So we join together to sing, God is love, his the care. Going to pray. Let us pray. Space to dwell in stillness. Time to pause in contemplation. Divine, human, more than intertwined, irrevocably, remarkably fused. Few are the words needed. Great is the wonder. Deep the encounter and the simple acceptance of the mystery. Then gratitude, joy. transformation. Lord, we adore you. You are our good shepherd, always there, always watchful. Your fold is the space you hold for us, where we know we are loved. Although danger surround us and in foolishness we stray, you have our back. We confess that we are not always aware of the ways in which the world is seductive. And we slip into wolves' clothing without thinking. We make bad choices about how and where we spend our money, not thinking of the exploitation that may have taken place and not thinking of the good that we could do with it. Forgive us when the wolf lurks beneath. Remind us, O Lord, that we are creatures of the fold. Bring us back to the community of love and life as it should be lived. Lord, who lays down your life on the cross, how can we doubt your forgiveness of us? May we know ourselves loved, cherished, and forgiven, and then emboldened to forgive others. And to share the fullness of your love. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. And I must say, congratulations to all of you who managed to get a hair appointment. You're looking good, and my time will come. Who knows when, but it will. Big hello to you all. And I just want to say a special hello to the children, especially Henrik, who was delighting me with his cuteness earlier on. So hello, Henrik. Right. Can I have my first slide, please? There we are. We've got some celebrities. We've got Prince William. We've got Justin Bieber, who, for those of you who don't know who that is, he is a pop star who became a Christian, I don't know, a short while ago, actually. So Justin Bieber, Ed Davey, I'm sure you know, he is the leader of the Liberal Democrats and he is the MP for Kingston and Surbiton. We've got Ronnie O'Sullivan, who is a snooker player, and he's my favourite snooker player, even though he does look a bit odd there. We've got Justine Welby, who is on the television. She's a presenter and she was also my favourite contestant, I think, on Strictly Come Dancing last year. Stacey Dooley is a TV presenter. She presents a show called This Is My House, which is one of my favourite TV programmes at the moment. Tom Baker is an actor.
Doctor Who,
and he's my doctor. Okay, we all have our doctor. He's the one that I started watching when I started watching Doctor Who, and is my favourite doctor. And then lastly, we have Beyonce, who is a pop star. Okay, so that's who they all are. I'm now going to attempt to change the slide. Can anyone tell me which celebrity is missing? And it'll have to be in the chat function. And I can't actually see the chat. I can't see the chat. Can I? No. You'll have to shout out, I think, who you think it is. Oh, hang on, chat. There we are. Sorry, everybody. Stacey Dooley, everybody thinks? Anyone else? Stacey? Yeah, you are right. Well done. Okay, so now I'm going to see if I can go on to the next one. I'm going to have to just get rid of this. Please bear with me, everybody. Who is missing? And I'm just going to go back to my screen. Sorry, I'm switching between about three or four screens here. Right, so people think it's Justin Bieber that's missing. Anyone else? Yeah, you're very good at this. Justin Bieber, indeed, indeed. Let me just stop sharing. There you are, good. I hope that's a good illustration of what I want to say today. We all want to be known by name, noticed, remembered, and missed when we're not around. God knows us by name, each and every one. God notices us. God remembers us. And God misses us when we're not around. Amen. And thank you for your understanding.
There's a whole world of debate opening up now about whether we like action songs or not. Anyway, we'll take that another time. Thank you. Thank you. So we have two well-known readings, the first one particularly so. It's Psalm 23, and Ray Erskine will read it to us. The psalm that compares God to a good shepherd, which is a much more familiar figure to us, to the people in the Middle East in the time of Jesus than to us. But it is an image of all-embracing care, of blessing, providing food and drink and guidance and protection. And then from John 10, which Stuart will read to us, Stuart Tander will read to us, it's Jesus picking up this image, which he would have known well, of the parable that draws the examples of Moses and David. And then in Ezekiel, we also get that Israel's leaders, both good and bad, are shepherds. And Jesus' image is both a pastoral one, and we must remember a political one too. Thank you.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green grass and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths, and he has promised, even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, for you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me, where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and your house will be my home as long as I live. Amen.
John 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me, and I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do. Amen.
Warmest greetings to you. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church, working with Reverend Sugin Lee, Reverend Dr. Sugin Lee, actually, who's busy recording this. The texts that I'm preaching from this day are Psalm 23 and John 10, verses 11 to 18. If we in Kingston United Reformed Church can help you or you would value a conversation, please get in touch with us. We would be glad to make that happen. There was a time when the organists at crematoriums in Britain would play the 23rd Psalm, I don't know, 14 times a day to the tune of Crimmed. And that was particularly problematic in one crematorium that I used to work in my youth, where the organist would go to the pub at the lunchtime, and because he wasn't very well challenged by what he was playing and he'd had a bit to drink, he would not, let's put it like this, wouldn't play very well in the afternoon and did have a bit of a tendency to fall asleep. A psalm, well known, well loved. I once had a request to help an 18-year-old put her mother's funeral together. Nothing religious, she said. Okay, I can do that. God's in the house, whether you acknowledge God or not, I thought, but didn't say. Then she said, could we have that poem about the dark valley? That would be the poem which you and I know as the 23rd Psalm. The great news is that the Psalm 23 is for today. However comforting we might find it, it assumes difficulties and it assumes the reality of death. It's not fluffy. It is a substantial piece of faith-based poetry which all of us would do well to learn and internalise. It could be read that there's quite a contrast between these two texts. One is about a protection during times of trial and the joys of life. And one is about self-sacrificial giving. And strangely, we tend to focus on the one that's about green fields and tables that are overflowing rather than the giving of our lives. No shocks there, brothers and sisters. There is, of course, the notion about laying down our life in a time of conflict and disturbance. At the start of the whole global pandemic, the superhero was strong amongst us. People who wanted to do something for others. The notion of the big dramatic activity is obviously a positive start. It is, however, a problem if the focus is on me and what I have to give rather than you as the one who will receive. If you won't receive what I have to offer, then there will be trouble. It looks like selflessness, but actually it's not. It's me working out my stuff on you. That's why I personally would make quite a distinction between those who come and work with us as volunteers and us who are laying down our lives as faithful disciples of Jesus. We are disciples. Our job is to do what the Lord requires of us, to lay down our lives and not to be focused on the applause. It is service, following Jesus, that is our priority. Jesus might be talking about the cross in this context, but that's not our way. We still are, though, talking about giving up our lives for the long haul. The teaching of Jesus is that we lay down our lives and we focus on giving and not getting. It's focused on you, not on me. Could it be that the care that we offer is actually a way of distancing us? Could it be that the care that I offer actually means I feel myself to be superior to you? My helping keeps us apart because I'm the sort of person that helps people, whereas you are the sort of loser that needs to be helped. And then we remember Jesus, who accepted being anointed. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd three times. What qualifies him to say this? Three times he draws attention to his readiness to lay down his life for the sheep. And to do this voluntarily, not because anybody makes him do so. The shepherds in the time of Jesus literally lay across the mouth of the sheepfold every night to keep the sheep in and to keep them safe, and then got up every morning to lead the sheep into pasture. Every day it was the job of the shepherd to get food and water for the sheep. This passage in the time that we're in now is a passage for Easter people, for the church. 4 weeks after Easter, Jesus is raised. What does that mean for life? And those who put the text together come up with this passage. In the gospel, the story now shifts from the retelling of the story from Mary and the disciples to an exploration of what it means. Who are we? What difference does this thing make to us, to him? So two things then from this teaching from Jesus. Firstly, who are the hired hands who care nothing for the sheep? In Palestine, the sheep were the responsibility of the shepherd. If anything happened to the sheep, if any went missing, the shepherd had to produce evidence that it wasn't his fault. So he turned up with two legs rescued from the mouth of a lion, for example. To the shepherd, it was the most natural thing to give his life for his sheep, battling with a lion, for example, for the sake of the flock. The sheep are his constant companions. So the difference between false and true shepherds is about motivation. The notion of vocation tends to be narrow and focused around ministers of religion. But what about everybody else? There are plenty of people who have a vocational understanding for their job. The hairdresser, the publican, the lawyer. The job that we do, yes, we do it for our pay, but we do it because God is calling us to do it. Whatever it is, God is calling us to do it. And for the false shepherd, it's a job. It's about getting the money and then cracking off. It's not about a sense of calling. I remember the day when we reassembled the dining room after my father's body had been taken away, and there was no need any longer for the hospital bed. And by coincidence, it was the day that the cleaners came round. We were busy in the house doing other stuff. And they moved around the house and repositioned in the room all the things that we'd taken away and put upstairs and whatever. And they brought them all back together. and they made the room ready. It wasn't in their job description. If they had arrived and done the cleaning, that would have been great. But their view of their working life was vocational. They laid down their lives and their time for us. Or this poem, which is a bit old-fashioned and a bit gender-biased. It's called The Housewife, but could easily be the house husband or the homemaker or whatever. And plus, I don't know who wrote it anyway, but here it is. See, I am cumbered, Lord, with serving and with small vexatious things. Upstairs and down my feet must hasten sure and fleet. So weary that I cannot heed thy word, so tired I cannot now mount up with wings. I wrestle, how I wrestle through the hours. Nay, not with principalities and powers, dark spiritual foes of gods and man's, but with antagonistic pots and pans, with footmarks in the hall, with smears upon the wall, with doubtful ears and small unwashed hands, and with a babe's immeasurable demands. It's the smallness of the tasks that I want us to get to. Every day we choose service rather than selfishness as the way of following Jesus. Secondly, I have other sheep that do not belong to this sheepfold. Traditionally, people have seen that as an affirmation of the oneness of Christianity and the unity in Christ. What if it's more than that? For us in the United Reformed Church, the Anglicans and Methodists and the Roman Catholics are Christians, and we're all actually part of this one thing that is the body of Christ, isn't actually saying that much. What about, though, if it's a message for those who are people of other faiths and none? Clearly, we believe it is gold to be in relationship with Jesus. But those of other faiths and persuasions have good to teach us and practices that we could do well to learn from. What about the discipline of praying five times a day, stopping to think of the things of God and to think of God, intentionally setting an alarm? One of the members of the church is currently fasting during Ramadan, alongside her Muslim friends and neighbours. How does it feel? Traditionally, Muslims fast to purge and to purify and to focus on God, a time of selflessness, looking outward and giving generously. The Lord is with us. The Lord helps us to shepherd our days, and we follow him, not from a place of arrogance, but of humble service. Today, we will live for him, and he will accompany us. And even if our lives look small and dull to everybody else, to God, a life offered well is a glorious thing. Amen.
Well, let us be still and then we will pray. Good Shepherd, Servant Lord, even when those who are called to represent you fail to care, your loving care persists. When the wolves of poverty, human violence, and natural disaster snatch your sheep away, you go on caring. As once you cared so much that you went to the cross, giving your life so that your lost sheep and lambs might ultimately be found and alive forever. we pray for your sheep in India, those needing oxygen. The sheep in the UK who are frightened and locked themselves at home. You have so many sheep, each one known to you by name, each one valued and precious. Take us as we wrestle with racism. Enlarge our vision of who is one of us. You have sheep we might not recognize, for their faith is so different from our own. You have sheep whom your representatives have despised and rejected. For those who are struggling to make ends meet, for those who are suffering, and for those who are sad, for those that we know who are ill, and at this time we pray for Myrtle and ask for God's healing for her and others that we know. Lord, do not let us be faithless hirelings, but teach us to realize the demands of your love in every human being. And in the silence, we bring our heartfelt prayers. Lord, the Good Shepherd, guide us. In your name we pray. Amen. We have two other services this day. There is Messy Church this afternoon at 3 o'clock. All ages welcome. There's something for all ages. Be there. I'll send you around the details for you to log in. And there is a service, a Holy Communion service at 5 o'clock in the building today. There's a whole load of different notices that I will send out about confirmation, about Christian Aid Week, about the reminder about the date of the quiz, body and soul workout Monday night. My phone timing is between 3 and 5 tomorrow. Bible study on Wednesday. The soiree on Thursday, the theme that they had last week, it was such a gorgeous and moving time that they're going to keep the topic again for this week. So if you didn't make it last week, come again. It's about concerts and weddings, that live events that you've been to, time to share that. Daily prayers will be moving to 10 o'clock. And I wonder whether, currently we don't have a time, we don't have anybody leading on a Saturday. I wonder whether there's anybody who'd be up for that, maybe starting a rota for those who would lead prayers on a Saturday morning. Let me know. Coffee morning, of course. And just a reminder of something that I sent you around, which is that June Avery had an organ that she played at home. If you would like it, let me know and I'll organise that to you. Help needed as we go towards re-establishing the coffee bar, and remember to continue to pray for Myrtle. So I'll move towards dedicating our offering, remembering that the gifts that we give are gifts to God, and God will use them, and then we will move into our Holy Communion. So let us pray. We bring these gifts from our life and work into the life of your church. And with them, we bring our passion for a just and peaceful world. We bring our resolve to work together for the common good. May these gifts and all that we offer be blessed and be a blessing. And may these gifts of bread and wine and money be used for the work of your kingdom, that all would receive the good news and know about you, our shepherd. Lord, we pray. Amen. So come to this table, you who are too busy to stop the rushed and the frantic. Come with the calm and the balanced. And come to this table, you who are lethargic and so sick of this COVID, careworn. Come with the bright and the singing. Come to this table, you who have forgotten how to laugh, how to feel. Come with the weeping and the jokers. Come to this table, you who think you have earned your place here because of your good works. And you who know that you have been foolish. For all are welcome. But be prepared to gather with unlikely people. All are welcome, none are worthy. Thanks be to God for this meal laid before us. Amen. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We take these gifts. We set them apart from all ordinary and common use and this mystery. And as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have been with us when we have been confined to our homes and a silent wolf has prowled the world. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you that you have been with us as we have walked the dark valley and known through this testing time that we are still a community that you love. We thank you for the proof that your church has no walls, as we learned to reach out to one another, that we still worship, but we do it in different ways. We thank you for the technology. We thank you for those who have stepped up so generously for us. We thank you for those that have worked so hard. We thank you. We thank you for those who usually in our communities are taken for granted and at this time have been celebrated. We thank you that our values have been tested and that we saw what really matters. Good Shepherd, who knows suffering and sacrifice beyond our imagining, thank you that you are present with us day by day. And thank you for these symbols of bread and wine that remind us of you dying on the cross, broken, tortured, and then risen for us. And thank you that you are here with us today. And we, each of us, in our separateness, are enfolded in your love. Thank you. Amen. in the face of death, denial and betrayal, the Lord Jesus took bread and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you. And this is my blood, it is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Shepherd God, you know our name. Sometimes we forget that, and sometimes we wander aimlessly. But you lead us to green pastures. You find restful waters to settle us. Shepherd God, you give your life for us. Sometimes we wonder who is for us, and sometimes we doubt that we are loved. But you do not leave us wanting. You know our needs and you comfort us. Shepherd God, we know your voice. Sometimes we don't listen to it. Sometimes we are so fearful of danger. But in the shadows of death, you are there giving courage. Shepherd God, you have so many sheep. Sometimes we're jealous. We want you all to ourselves. But you spread a table in the presence of enemies. Your goodness and your generosity are there for us and others to see. Thank you. Amen. So join to sing our final hymn after we've done this and had the benediction. We'll go into breakout rooms if you can stay. That would be great. Good to have a chance to talk. So we join to sing, "How Great Thou Art."
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, hymn number 117.
Thank you.
May God, who gives hope, go with us, upholding us with courage and with love, until heaven comes on earth and all creation shouts for joy. And all God's people said, Amen.